Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. What if the energy that once drained you could become the force that heals you? Today's guest, Zoraida Morales, spent 13 years in chemotherapy and somehow turned that struggle into fuel. This episode is about transforming the hardest seasons of life into radiant strength. And by the end of this conversation, you'll see how Zoraida reclaimed her body, mind, and spirit, and how you can begin life by design, not default, even in the face of pain. Now, Zoraida Morales went from investment banker to cancer thriver, speaker, coach, and author of Life by Design, Not Default. She's living proof that our energy, mental, physical, and spiritual, is our greatest currency. Zoraida, welcome to Hacks and Hobbies.
Junaid, thank you for having me here. And thank you for the lovely introduction.
Absolutely, my friend. Now, take us back to the moment you heard that diagnosis. What shifted inside you immediately?
I thought it was a mistake, but I knew in my heart it wasn't. And my life crashed, because that's what happens when you get a diagnosis. It never comes on a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a Friday afternoon. It's a long story of how I got there, but it's a Friday afternoon, and I'm visiting with a hematologist who I've never met before, because who has a hematologist in their contacts list? No one, right? And so she tells me that I have chronic myeloid leukemia, and she scheduled me for a bone marrow biopsy the following Monday. And I look at her. Now, I took the day off to go to this appointment. And I look at her and I say, look at your records. You have it all wrong. But I knew in my heart that she didn't. And she just stoically just looked at me and just repeated herself. Truthfully, I wanted to smack her. I did. I wanted to smack her so badly. And I think she knew it, because I think she saw the look in my eye. I got in the car. It was raining. The rain was pelting on my car. I was only 5 minutes away because no one would see me. Right? I couldn't go to the doctors that I normally go to, because you cannot get a diagnosis until you see an oncologist. But you can't see an oncologist until you get a diagnosis. So it's that chicken egg syndrome. So that's why I went to see a hematologist. And as I'm in the car, I call my husband, and he was in New York at the time working. And I call him and I tell him the news. And we both cried while I drove home. Yeah. Actually, I didn't drive home. I went to pick up my children. They were in daycare, and they were 3 and 6 years old at the time. So I had to stop, you know, how I felt, and be mom and pick them up. And we couldn't wait for them to go to sleep. Because we just wanted to talk about it. And we cried and held each other all night.
Wow, Zoraida, that's really something else. I mean, to get news like that and be like, okay, this is what you got to do. How did you move from why me to what now? Because, you know, pain has a way of breaking us open, but you choose to let it build you.
Well, I got to tell you, here's what I learned. That when you get a diagnosis, all your traumas, all your limiting beliefs, they come right out to the surface. And I did feel that, why me? Because, you know, I'm a brown woman. I'm from the South Bronx of New York City. Born in the 60s. Born into generational poverty. Born into generational trauma. So I felt that, why me? how can this happen? I just spent 15 years getting out of poverty, right? Now I'm working in investment banking, working for the top five company in the country or in the world. And I'm in my dream house, my dream job. I've got my two beautiful children, my dream children, because I have five miscarriages before them. So, I was pissed. I was pissed. I was pissed at God. And I remember going to him, I quit you. I remember going to just saying it, I quit you, God. That's it. I never want to see you again. I was pissed. I was angry. Because when you get a diagnosis, you actually go through the five stages of grief. And denial is one of them. Sadness, depression, fear, anxiety. You go, and then you just toggle in between all these different stages. And it took me about a good 6 months to a year before I was like, okay, I got to get a hold of myself. And so I started to survive. I went into survivorship mode, but I wasn't thriving. You see, there's a difference, right? Because the thriving comes here. Yeah. This is where thriving comes, the heart. I was just surviving just to survive. And so when I realized that I was not thriving. It was 7-8 years later. And I said, this is not how I want to live. And the system, unfortunately, the medical system in the United States doesn't do a good job of giving you everything you need to thrive. So you are feeling grateful just for the little bit that you have. And I had great insurance because I worked for a top company. But still, it was... I like to think that Eckhart Tolle prepared me for this diagnosis because I started listening to him again. And I had to ask myself, how do you want to live? What are you hungry for?
Yeah.
What do you need that you don't have and how do you get it? Because remember, I'm in finance. I still got that finance project management mentality, right? I'm still the pusher. I'm still that A person. I haven't really changed here. I didn't change here at all. And my mindset didn't change much either. I grind through the first 7 years of taking chemo. I don't recommend that to anyone. I wouldn't do that now. I don't do that now. Yeah. Yeah. Not to say that there's moments where I don't have to grind, but now like I'm more in the ebb and flowing kind of entrepreneurship where I would have never survived if I would have kept that up. And so asking myself those questions, how do you want to live? It took me 2 years to answer that. You want to hear my answer?
Of course.
It was simple. It was so simple. It was... I want to live in peace, love, and joy all day, every day, here. Then it took me another year to figure out what did that look like? What did it sound like? What did that feel like? And so I went on this path where I went on this path that I call devotion to self. I figured if this is the way I'm going to live, then I'm going to be the best version of myself. But what did that look like? I had to work, and then I realized that I had to work through my traumas because I wasn't going to get there if I didn't address those traumas, those limiting beliefs. That's when the magic started. That's when the magic started. Going back, and I'm talking back, like not only ancestral, but past lives. I went way back, and I still do. I still do ceremonies to honor my ancestors, and I still do ceremonies where I clear out energy, because energy is that energy that you don't know where it comes from, but it's in your body, and you don't understand why you behave a certain way. Why do you react? Why does your body react to a certain word or phrase or person? I had to do all that work in order to be who I am right now, which is a cancer nutrition coach.
Yeah. So write up, pain isn't punishment, right? It's an invitation to create something beautiful with what remains.
Yeah, because there's so many lessons there. Thank you for saying it that way. There's so many lessons there. And now that I think about it, I feel like the chosen one. See, I no longer have that victim mentality. I have that victor mentality because now I feel like I was chosen. He chose me to work through my shit, work through the karma, and then become this better version of myself, who I always wanted to be. Because I remember being 5 years old, knowing that I felt what I felt. Because I've known this my whole entire life. Even the things that I uncovered as an adult, I knew about these things because I felt it. But I couldn't prove it. And I didn't have the words for it either. But there were lessons. And I was chosen because not everyone has that opportunity. Some people are just meant to be, and there's nothing wrong with it, but a train conductor or a teacher, right? But I was, I was meant to work through my karma so I can be the cancer coach from the finance professional because it's a mindset shift.
It is,
but it's here too. It's here.
Now, Zoraida, you wrote a book, Life by Design, Not Default. What does Life by Design, Not Default mean to you? And beyond the brand, because you speak about the three pillars of nutrition, mental, physical, and spiritual. How did you develop that framework?
All by lived experience. You know, when I decided that I was going to live life with intention, I started doing the work. I started hiring coaches. Now, this was COVID. And so most of my work was done through Zoom with people from out of the country. And I did the work. And as I'm doing the work, because here's the thing, and I'm an American, born and raised, but the doctors here couldn't help me. Like, talk therapy wasn't helping me. I needed a rewiring. I needed a recoding. Right? There was energies that get stuck in our bodies that are coming from generation to generation because they come through the womb. And so I prioritized myself. I devoted to self. And so I wanted to learn how to best love myself, how to remove processed foods from my diet. Because again, I'm putting myself first, not my children, not my husband, not my family, my friends, me. Yeah. I had never done that. I come from a Puerto Rican household where you're not encouraged to devote to self, right? As the oldest, I was taught to defer to my elders and take care of my siblings. And no one gave a shit what I thought. Now, not to say I wasn't loved. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I had to I had to follow the rules, and then I had to lead myself at 6 years old. It's not because they didn't.
Yeah.
It's not because they didn't want to. But again, two things: they're carrying their own traumas and their own limiting beliefs. But secondly, you know, my mom was divorced with four kids under seven. Worked during the day and went to college at night to get us out of generational poverty. So I am that original latchkey kid. When you read about a latchkey kid at 6 years old with the key around the neck, that was me in the 1960s. Oh, so I had to lead myself. Can you imagine? So getting this diagnosis, it was full circle. And I said, I'm going to put myself first for the first time in my life because I didn't know how. I wasn't taught. Mm. And then I felt guilty. I felt shame for even thinking that that was my birthright. But I did it anyway because I knew in my heart that this was the way we were going to live from now on. I knew that I was going to make the heart the leader and the mind and the ego to follow and support. And through just going through this whole process for a few years is how I started to document, and I created the three pillars of nutrition: mental, physical, and spiritual, right? Three pillars, right? You got the mental part. Yeah. So the mental part is not letting my mind and ego run over my heart, which means if I get a compliment, I'm going to allow my heart to open up and accept it. I'm not going to let the mind and the ego overrun my mind, right? Throwing fear at me. You know, those kind of things, because it's not really about other people. It's what we do to ourselves. It's the,
exactly.
the little voice in our head that says, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? Right. And so, and I started learning these modalities, like I had a Reiki session last night, right? Reiki, sound healing, meditation, journaling, reading, prayer, being still. These are part of my practices. This is how I anchor my days. This is how I start my morning. This is how I end my morning, my evening, with those same things, because I have to anchor myself, because like most people, and I'm sure you're one of them, we spend our time giving. But we're but we're not giving from a overflowing cup. We're giving from an empty and maybe a full cup. But we don't come from a society that honors that. So that's the mental part.
Amen. Amen. No, so I don't want to ask you this.
Sure.
Which of these three pillars was the hardest for you to restore? You talked about the mental, we talked about the physical and spiritual. Which one of the three was hardest for you?
Spiritual.
You want to hear
how it happened? It's a great story.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. That's where we're here.
So here I am. I'm in year 12 of taking chemo. Year 12. I get a divorce. I ask for a divorce. I sell my house. COVID closes New York area 2 weeks after I signed the papers. So now I'm sort of homeless. I have nowhere to live because New York is not going to give me an apartment. 3 weeks later, I get laid off. So now no one's going to give me an apartment because I don't have a job. But it kind of worked out, and I'm finally in New York. And I'm surrounded by 2,500 square feet of boxes. Boxes, because I was trying to get rid of everything. During COVID, mind you. This was the beginning of COVID, where they said, it's only going to take 2 weeks. It's only going to take 2 weeks. And so here I am in this two-bedroom apartment in New York City. And I knew I needed someone and something that was higher than me. I needed love. I needed protection, because everyone was mad at me that I asked for a divorce. How dare I? 24 years of marriage? Who's happy? That's what people were telling me. Who's happy in a 24-year marriage? Go have an affair. I wasn't interested in that. That's not why I was doing this. So here I go to a corner in my living room, and I just look up and I go, it was like a Martin Scorsese movie. I look up and I go, hi, God, it's me, Zoraida. He had not heard my voice since I got that diagnosis. Remember when I told him I quit you? And I told him, I need you. I need you. I need you to love me. I need you to hold me and protect me, because I know I did the right thing in my heart, but no one believes, right? No one believes that I'm doing the right thing. And then he hugged me. Like, he literally, I felt the warmth. I mean, I can still feel, I feel it right now as I'm talking about him, as I'm touching myself, I feel the warmth in my arms, and I just leaned in. And I cried for like 20 minutes. Felt him. He had me. He got me. It was like, I got you. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
And after like 20 minutes, after I couldn't cry anymore, I had to let it out. I wiped my tears and I started to unpack. And I knew that I wasn't alone. That's why the spiritual component of my program, that's everything to me. This is where the devotion to self came from. The premise of my program is devotion to self. Devotion to self doesn't take away from people. It gives you back.
Amen. That's right. You talk about energy as something we generate, and this is kind of an example. You know, it's not something that you also that you receive, but also something that we generate. So let's talk about what that looks like in the daily life for you and for the people you coach. For example, when you work with survivors and caregivers, what does the first spark of healing usually look like?
You know, most people, when they come to me, the first thing they say is, I want to take processed foods out of my diet. Because that's what people automatically think. Oh, I need to change my diet. And I agree. Food is medicine. That is key. However, they don't realize that what they're missing is the devotion to self.
Mm-hmm.
Because mentally, there's stuck energy there. So I give them a questionnaire, and they fill it out.
Yeah.
But at even 1 or 2 weeks while we're working, they realize, oh, that's not why I'm here. I'm here because I still got father issues. I still got stuck energy here. I still think I'm not good enough. Because what the program is going to show you is, as if you can devote to self, you're good. You don't need me. Because you need to anchor yourself with those modalities where you are pouring into yourself, where you are elevating your self-worth, not just self-confidence, right? Self-confidence requires external things. But the self-worth here, that's all internal.
It's all internal.
So how do you pour into yourself and pour? I'll give you an example. This is my day every day. In the mornings, I'm an early riser. I get up like 5:30, 6 o'clock maybe. I don't see clients until 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not interested in speaking to people. I'm not interested in watching the news because, again, that's nutrition. That's not really effective for me in the morning because you know what the messages are like, right? And so the objective is to pour into myself so now I can pour into other people. So I like to hydrate because remember, you're sleeping for 8 hours and your body needs it. So I hydrate. So between 5:30 in the morning and 12 o'clock in the afternoon, I've already had half a gallon of water in different forms, right? Sometimes I'll have apple cider vinegar with lemon water. I'll have ginger, turmeric, cinnamon tea. Mm-hmm. But I hydrate and I hydrate and I hydrate. I go into meditation. I go into breath work. I go into prayer. I read a book. I journal. So I do yoga. And if I don't do yoga, I'll go out and take a walk. I go out in nature. But my point is that all I'm doing is pouring into myself. Now comes 12 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm ready. I've already taken care of me. Now I can pour into the people that I'm working with. And more importantly, I'm showing up for myself, which is very more important than anything, but now I can show up for them. And then in the nighttime, I do it all over again. Because
I love that.
You get depleted. You know, you speak to people all day long. It's a lot. It takes a lot of your energy away.
Yes, it
does. So here's one of the things I do, and I suggest people do this. Book half an hour to 60 minutes every day for yourself. I know we're all busy. Trust me, I know. But every day at 3 o'clock, because that's when I'm usually get a little tired and sleepy and I can't function, I have an appointment with myself. Now, I only allow myself to, I can only reschedule within the 12 hours. I can't not do it. That just, it won't work for me. It doesn't allow me to be in integrity if I cancel myself. And so what
that's
I do.
That's something I got to work on.
Oh, I can teach you. All I do is be. And be means that I am connecting to spirit. Means that I am getting messages from spirit. Sometimes I'll do a quick 10-minute yoga. Sometimes I'll go for a walk. Sometimes I lay in my bed and I look at the ceiling like I'm 10 years old and I'm just, you know, like I don't have internet, right? And I just look at the ceiling and I just daydream. But it's that moment, it's that pause to pour into myself and to give myself permission to pause. Because we don't do that as a country.
We do not pause at all. Sorry, those are really powerful. How do you help people find joy again after years of fighting for life?
Actually, they find it themselves, you know, and they find it when they start devoting to self.
Yeah.
So the physical part is nutrition, food nutrition, and movement. We're like cars. You don't use it, you're going to lose it. So I work out every day. I've always worked out my entire life. So it's how I process things, right? I'm one of those people, right? I process things when I'm working out. So I have to do something, right? It could be yoga. It could be power yoga. It could be balance yoga. It could be relaxing yoga. It could be a walk. It could be riding a bike. But I got to figure out, it could be dancing. But I got to figure out what is it that's going to help me move my state.
Yeah.
Which is changing your physiology, right? So you know how when you dance, all of a sudden the endorphins start kicking up? That's a great, that's another great way of moving. You're moving your body, you're moving that energy, and it's bringing you joy. So I teach people how to find their own joy. So dancing is one of my joys. So I do salsa dancing.
Nice.
I've always loved dancing. It's just one of my things. And so... And I like reading, and I like doing crossword puzzles. So I go back, right? When I want to replenish, how do I replenish? I go back to that 7-year-old Soraida and go, okay, what do you need? What do you need? What are you feeling? What do you want? It's those questions I keep asking myself. And then I just give it to myself. And then food. Food is medicine. I don't eat processed food. I eat clean. And what that means is, you know, I don't eat at fast food places. I don't eat at a lot of restaurants, right? And I have to, and I've learned how to read the labels, ingredient labels, which is what I teach my clients.
Nice.
Because we don't want to eat foods where red number 5 dye, but we also don't want to have sucralose in our foods. And there's, you know, there's just reading the ingredients listing is overwhelming as it is. So I teach people those things.
There was a sugar doctor expert who's mentioned that there's 268 different names for sugar that the food industry uses in foods.
And there's probably more.
There's probably more. This has been so powerful, so insightful conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, sharing your story. You had mentioned in the green room that you've got a gift for our audience. Can you share what that is and how can folks get to it?
Yeah. So I just created this. I'm really excited about it. And it's called the What's Your Energy Archetype. And basically, it's very simple, 10 different questions, and it'll tell you where your energy is at and in what percentage. So it's mind, body, soul, and strength. And so, for instance, the first question will say something, will ask you like, when you wake up, what is your inner dialogue? So the mind is, I have so much to figure out today, right? The body goes, oh, I hope my body cooperates today. The soul is thinking, I want today to feel meaningful, right? And then the strength is, I get to do this podcast with Junaid, right? And so once you see where your strengths and maybe even your weaknesses lie, you're going to get these mini practices. So it may tell you, you may tell you that you may need to elevate your energy. You may need to do some meditation on worthiness. Or you may want to do some sound healing on healing the body. You know, there's just so many different ways of healing. And so it's you know, it's a really quick energy, and I think it's a lot of fun. And I tell people, oh, have a drink and do it with your friends, because you're going to learn something about yourself. And it changes, right? Your energy changes every week, every month, every quarter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I have that for your listeners.
Zoraida, thank you so much. We'll be sure to include these links in the show notes. Where is the best place that you like to connect with your people, and where can we find you?
So I like to connect with people on LinkedIn. That's where I live. I write a lot about the things that I just spoke about. Where am I? Yeah, Zoraida Morales at LinkedIn. You'll see me. I'm the one with the red suit.
Awesome. Well, we'll be sure to include the links in the show notes. Thank you so much again, Zoraida, for this conversation. And we'll talk to you very soon. Take care.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And guys, everyone listening here, thank you so much for your time. I'm Junaid Ahmed. Until next time, keep creating and keep thriving by design, not default. Make sure you get the book from Zoraida. We'll have it in the show notes, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.